Chapter 5. A Cry from the Depths.
I can't see that it would do him much good. It would only remind him of things.
This was the optimist's opinion. The three of them were discussing the cripple in a corner of the lounge. The atheist had suggested bringing him down from the monastery to spend a few days at the hotel.
It would be a change, he argued. It's very slow for him up at the monastery.
He seemed cheerful enough yesterday. You'd hardly think he'd been smashed up.
The third man, the pessimist, as the cripple called him, growled something about it not making much difference either way. Things were about as bad as they could be in any case. In the end, the atheist prevailed. He seemed quite determined. He would pay all expenses himself. Later in the day, the cripple received a note, sent up from the hotel. He recognized the atheist's handwriting, opened and read it through, and then gave it to Brother Anselm.
"What do you think?"
The monk scanned the contents, folded it slowly, and returned it. "There would be no difficulty about getting you down there in the car, as he suggests, and it would certainly be a change. All the same, I don't think you would be any the happier for it."
"Why? Where's the harm?"
"There's no harm in staying at the hotel. I don't mean that."
"What do you mean, then? Why don't you like the idea?"
There was rather an impatient note in his voice.
"I'd rather not say. I must leave it to you to guess.
I'd sooner you decided for yourself, too." The cripple considered for a moment and then said,
"Oh, well, a few days. I can't very well go to the Bow Wows now. I'll risk it."
He laughed. The scheme was rather attractive. The car arrived at the monastery the following afternoon. The stretcher part of the ambulance, with the cripple on it, was lifted in by one of the monks and the pessimist, who had promised to superintend the transference. The transit of Venus, the cripple called it, excited as a boy off for the holidays. As they drove off, he called "Cheerio" to Brother Anselm, who stood there watching until a bend in the road hid the car from sight. The monk walked back slowly, wondering whether it had been wise to let him go so easily. He could not prevent him, of course, and after all, he was not sure. But why was that man so bent on having him at the hotel? Why had that near thing happened on the night of his visit to the monastery, the thing that had so nearly ended it all? Once more, certain memories of the past dinned in his brain.
Was that man still doing his devil's work?
He felt uneasy.
It was the optimist. Brother Anselm, looking up from his digging, recognized the swinging stride. He left his spade standing against the wall and went to meet him. Almost before the monk had taken his hand, the other was saying,
"I hope you won't think me a fool, but I'm a bit worried. I don't like what's going on down there. It's not doing him any good. That's why I've come up."
"Tell me," said the monk.
The other jerked out his account. It was what the atheist was doing that troubled him. Brother Anselm's face grew grave as he listened.
"You may tell your friend..." "He's not really my friend," said the optimist. "He came with us because he's good at mountains. That's all."
"You may tell your acquaintance that unless he sends him back to the monastery within 3 hours from now, I shall be down at the hotel an hour later to fetch him back myself." Within the scheduled time, the car was at the monastery gates. It was Brother Anselm himself now who helped lift the cripple back onto the ambulance, after taking a note handed him by the driver. The car drove off, and he wheeled a silent figure back through the grounds into the garden, asking another monk on the way to bring tea for two. Ensconced in the arbor, Brother Anselm opened the note. It contained 2 lines and was signed by the atheist.
"Sir, your request is granted. Our mutual friend has benefited by the change, as you will doubtless discover."
Brother Anselm tore the note carefully into small pieces and dropped them on a heap of weeds. Tea arrived. The cripple consumed it disinterestedly, saying nothing. He had not spoken yet. The monk decided to wait and busied himself about the garden.
"I wish to hell you'd stop messing about with that rake," suddenly came from the arbor. "I might be a darned corpse for all the attention I get."
Brother Anselm went on with his work. Getting me back to this hole. Brother Anselm walked across the lawn. As regards your first remark, would you kindly keep a civil tongue in your head? As regards the second, you are quite free to return to the hotel. Would you like me to send for the car? I think perhaps I had better. And he went off towards the monastery.
No, stop, I...
Brother Anselm walked on.
No, do stop, I...
Brother Anselm walked on.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm awfully sorry, I'm a cad.
Brother Anselm turned round and came back.
Will you forgive me? I'm very sorry, I didn't mean it. I'm in hell again. Oh, keep me here, for pity's sake, keep me here. I've only you, or despair.
The monk sat down close to the cripple. Yes, those few days had done their work. He set himself to battle for that soul again. Tell me about it. The whole miserable story came out. The atheist had looked after the cripple himself. Everything in the way of comfort and ease was supplied. He was kindness itself. Insisted on the cripple seeing the life of the hotel to the full. He would wheel him to the tennis courts in the afternoon. There was dancing in the ballroom every evening. The cripple's ambulance would be placed in an alcove so that he could lie there listening to the seductive strains of the music, watching the couples glide by. At first, it was rather diverting. He almost enjoyed it, until one night, some girl's remark caught his ear.
Poor devil, I prefer a coffin to that.
The words went home like a knife. Oh, he must have meant it all kindly, but it drove me mad. I was out of it all, cut off from everything. I know, dear man, said Brother Anselm. But it wasn't only that. You were beginning to face the loss of what you called that hectic life. There was more. Tell me. The cripple hesitated. There was more, yes, but... Oh, I hope you won't think me disloyal. I told him all you had said, the crucible and all that. He sort of made me. He's got a way of making you tell him things. And then he reasoned. He went on and on, 2 or 3 days of it, until the crucible idea looked silly. He said it was one more method of apologizing for what he calls the ever-absent God. It all seemed so convincing, horribly convincing. And everything went, God and all. He left you as he left you the evening he came here, in despair. Brother Anselm completed the sentence. Man, can't you see? He sent you back again today, in despair. He didn't mind sending you back. His work was done, so he thought. His work? What work? The work of robbing you of God. Do you imagine he got you down there to give you a good time? He got you there to destroy the hope that was growing in you. You were beginning to turn towards God. He hates God. Hates religion. His one passion in life, his one satisfaction, is to rob men of both. That is his life work. But how do you know? Brother Anselm's reply did not come very readily. Because this is not the first time that man and I have met. Last time was years ago, and under very different circumstances. He has forgotten me. I would rather not say more, except that I have not forgotten him. The cripple was puzzled, but did not press him further. Now, said the monk, I want you to answer me. Were you happy that day here in the garden, when I spoke about the crucible and God? Yes, I was. Why? Because, well, I felt that if I plunged into the crucible, I mean, if I took what has happened to me in your way, I should find God. The very thought of it seemed to make me happy. That's number one, said Brother Anselm. Now, number two. Were you happy when that man had finished with you? No, I was in utter, hopeless misery. Why? The monk leaned forward. Think, man. Think. The cripple met his eyes. Because, well, I felt as if I'd lost... There was a pause. Oh. The light of a great understanding dawned. Oh my God! I want you! I want you!